Hello, fellow Earth folks. I'm Annie Gigg, GYG, here on CFRU 93.3 FM and CFRU.ca, available wherever you are in the world. Warm welcome to Better Me, Better World, the show for growth-minded changemakers, difference makers, and happiness makers. Over recent episodes, except during our detour into South America, we've been listening in on the fact-based time warp conversation between Annie Younger, a.k.a. Annie Y, at age 25 in the year 1980, and Annie Older, a.k.a. Annie O, 35 or more years later. The continuing true story conversation is all about getting to the bottom of things using the power of inquiry. You're invited to keep on being a fly on the wall. Hi, Annie O. It's good to be chatting again. I've missed our conversation while you were traveling about South America for a month with your... with my future son, Liam. So glad it was a mind-expanding adventure for you. But I think I'd be afraid to go to foreign countries. So much could go wrong when you're so far from home. Well, anyway, I agree it's good to be back in our chat again. And your comment about fear leads in nicely to the topic of our conversation today. You'll recall having gone through the exercise of creating your NLEN, Enlin, your near-life experiences narrative, in order to discover your values and passion that point to your life meaning and purpose. We'd wrapped up that chat by admitting that although the Enlin exercise can be very enlightening, there are obstacles that get in your way. Obstacles I call gremlins. Yeah, Annie O, the name that rhymes with Enlin, and those gremlins, you said, often take the form of a fear or a sense of lacking. And my last question to you was, how do we get through them? I remember I specifically mentioned my fear of other people's opinions about me and was wondering, how can I stop them from bothering me? You told me to keep wondering until we could talk again. And now, here we are. Yes, indeed, here we are, Annie Y. And to respond to your wondering, may I share with you the content of, I guess you'd call it a workbook I created a few years back. Sure, that sounds good, Annie. Great, so just stop me as we go if you have any questions or need clarification on anything. Will do. I called the workbook Enlin versus Gremlin, How to Win the Tug of War Between Motivation and Deterrence to Live Fully and Purposefully. The abstract says, so, you want to bring about change in your life or achieve those elusive goals. You feel you've got what it takes, but there is something holding you back from making it happen. This paper can help you get on the winning team in the tug-of-war between good intentions and saboteurs. An introductory quote by Robert G. Allen says, creating success is a tug-of-war between your mind and your heart, your fears and your dreams. If your fears win, you lose. Here's an explanation of key terms used in this paper, a review for you, Annie Y., as you've already been introduced to them. Gremlin, an imaginary mischievous sprite regarded as responsible for an unexplained problem or fault, any cause of trouble, difficulties, etc. Adapted from dictionary.com. NLE is an acronym for near life experience. An NLE is an occasion when you are in flow or in the zone or having a peak experience, when you're performing an activity and your mind is fully focused, wholly involved in what you're doing, and you are feeling high levels of energy and enjoyment while performing the activity. You're totally absorbed in the moment and are unaware of the passage of time. This is an experience when you come nearest to achieving fullness of life. NLEN, pronounced Enlin, rhyming with gremlin, is an acronym for near life experience narrative. Enlin is the story that reveals your life purpose, your true calling. It's the composite of your NLEs over your lifetime. Introduction. There are times in our lives when we feel highly driven to achieve desired outcomes, whether at work, home, or sport. Perhaps you've been motivated by an amazing speaker, a great coach, an enlightening self-help book, or an exciting training program. You started off gung-ho and made steady, satisfying advances for a bit. But then, before you succeed at fully realizing your goal, you lose your moxie and are pulled back to where you started from, or worse. It's like a tug-of-war between motivation and deterrence. Tug-of-war is a sport that pits two groups against each other in a test of strength. Teams pull on opposite ends of a rope, vying to bring the rope a certain distance in their direction. Raw muscle power helps, but the cooperation and rhythm of team members working together plays an equally important, if not more important, role. In the tug-of-war of life, where motivators are pulling on one end of the rope and deterrents are pulling on the opposite end, it's essential to have powerful, motivational teammates like an inspiring speaker, coach, book, or role model. However, their power may be sporadic and short-lived, as perhaps you've experienced. To achieve sustained motivation, you need to find the rhythm that ensures your motivators are pulling most powerfully in sync. This means finding intrinsic motivations that are in alignment with your life purpose. When your intrinsic motivators are pulling in rhythm in the direction of your life purpose, you overpower your deterrents and achieve your goals. So, Ennio, what can you do to ensure your motivators consistently win the tug of war so you can achieve your goals and live fully and purposefully? Three steps, Ennio, which will be in part refreshers for you, being stuff we've already talked about. So step number one is find powerful motivators that will pull cooperatively as a team in the direction you want to go. Step number two, find the rhythm for them to pull most strongly and sustainably in unison. Step three, diminish the deterrents. Here's the explanation for each step. Step one, find powerful motivators. So where are these powerful motivators, these intrinsic, sustainable motivators? They're in near-life experiences, the NLEs. As more fully defined earlier, NLEs are the occasions in life when you've felt most fully alive. Each NLE occurrence holds a clue as to what it is that makes you feel nearest to experiencing life at its fullest, without the help of mind-altering substances. The first step involves identifying such occasions without making any inferences about them. It may be helpful to chunk down your search for NLEs by focusing your attention on one period of your life at a time, starting at the present and working backwards or vice versa. Or perhaps it will work better for you to let the NLEs just randomly rise to the surface of your consciousness from wherever in your life. An NLE may be blatant or subtle, of short or protracted duration. Do not attempt to force the NLEs from memory. Invite them to surface as they will. When an NLE comes to mind, record it on your tablet in a scrapbook or on a sticky note. That futuristic tablet thing again, Annie-o. Sorry, go on. Okay. In your note-taking, briefly describe what the NLE was and how you felt while experiencing it. At what age in your life you had the NLE is not critical. Take as much time as needed until you feel satisfied with your captures. They may take a few hours, days, or weeks. The NLEs may arise in a flurry or intermittently. To illustrate this step, I've chosen some of my own NLEs to share and have presented them in chronological order from my distant to more recent past. This is the exercise you took, Annie Y, during our previous conversation, so you know what I'm going to describe. First NLE, alone on a frozen pond in a field performing what, to the little girl me, was a perfectly choreographed ice skating routine over and over and over again until I suddenly realized mid-afternoon had given way to dusk. I was feeling energized by delivering beautiful performances to my imaginary audience. Another NLE, in the summer after I began elementary school, I was teaching my two somewhat reluctant preschool brothers in a home classroom I'd set up, complete with desks and a chalkboard, as well as readers I'd made and books and math books I'd created. I was feeling rewarded by conveying to them new learning. Next NLE was performing in the public speaking contest in elementary school. Doing that, I was feeling connected by sharing knowledge and ideas with the audiences. Another NLE was penning poetry on high school summer weekends, primarily for a favorite English teacher. Doing that, I was feeling immersed by getting lost deep in the compositions. Another NLE was spending an inordinate amount of time in the lab for my university cartography course to produce the most effective, useful maps possible. And I was feeling greatly satisfied by creating what I thought of as practical works of art. A little bit later, an NLE was about writing recommendation reports for committees and council when I worked at City Hall. I was feeling challenged by writing to produce articulate and compelling content. And the final one I'll share, this NLE had to do with preparing material for personal development presentations to the staff in the work unit I led. That made me feel fulfilled by creating potentially positive learning experiences for them. When you feel all your accessible NLEs have surfaced for the time being, I suggest you organize them in one place so you can easily consider them in relation to each other. And that completes step number one, finding powerful motivators. Step number two is find the rhythm and enhance motivation. I believe I know what you're going to talk about here, Annie O. It concerns finding the commonalities in the various NLEs, right? Creating your NLEN. All right, you're on to me, Annie Y. However, I'll carry on, as repetition is one of the best ways to commit something to memory. Rhythm is defined as a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. When a team of rowers in a dragon boat race finds its rhythm, the racing speed is maximized. When a tug-of-war team pulls in rhythmic unison, the pulling power is greatly enhanced. This step involves finding the rhythm, the strong, repeated pattern in the NLEs and associated feelings you described. It's about writing your near-life experience narrative, or your NLEN. Positive feelings are what motivate you. In NLEs, your feelings are so intensely positive that you enter a flow state. You're energized, totally focused, and 100% motivated. You are enjoying yourself at a peak level. Now it's time to decipher what those feelings are collectively telling you from your various NLEs strongly and repeatedly. This step in the process is analogous to putting together the pieces of a picture puzzle. At first glance, it's difficult to see the big picture with the pieces scattered about the tabletop, but when you look at the pieces more closely and start fitting the pieces together, the image begins to appear. Again, to illustrate this step, here is the process I went through to write my NLEN. I reviewed my collection of NLEs. At first glance, I did not see a connection between skating, teaching, poetry writing, map making, and my other NLEs. On the surface, these are not related activities. So I looked more closely. What is their commonality? And then it dawned on me. Creativity. All my NLEs were acts of creation of some sort or other, whether it was a physical routine, speaking, writing, or drawing. However, almost everything we do has a creative component to it by virtue of the doing. There must be more. With further contemplation, I saw it. Sharing. In some way or another, the NLEs involve sharing with others. So, it's creating for others that motivates me. Got it. But still, I felt there were more my NLEs had to tell me, and I continued to consider, what is the why behind me sharing creatively with others? The answer came, fostering fostering. Virtually all my creations for sharing were made to foster joy or learning or awareness or growth. I felt compelled to put my all into my creations because I wanted them to be as effective and as high quality as possible to enhance the recipient's experience. Fostering through sharing my creativity is my rhythm, the strong, regular, repeated pattern. By understanding my rhythm, I could then articulate my Enlin. I have become increasingly aware that I am most happy when I am involved in tasks that have elements of creativity, sharing, and fostering. Therefore, my life purpose is to foster the growth and development of others through creative sharing. When I align my intentions and goals with this life purpose, I am powerfully and sustainably motivated to succeed because in pursuing these goals, I am becoming who I am meant to be. Completion of this second step, finding your rhythm to enhance your motivation, is in the creating of your Enlin. Like the first step, how long it takes to complete this second step varies from person to person. For some, it will take hours, for others, weeks. The human brain is rigged to discern patterns, so let it do what comes naturally. Try not to influence it to see patterns you want to see. This awareness from my Enlin enhanced my motivation and empowered me to act on my desire to train as a life coach, take early retirement from my 40-year real estate career in the corporate world, and pursue my passion as a motivational speaker, writer, trainer, and coach. I now knew, or more accurately felt, in both my head and heart, that these goals were aligned with my authentic self that had shown up periodically throughout my life in the form of NLEs. Annie, why couldn't I see this earlier in life? Why didn't I have the courage and confidence to pursue my dream long before I... You actually do. Besides not finding my rhythm for several years yet, what's going to be deterring me? Let's find out, Annie, why, by moving on to step 3 in the process of ensuring your motivators consistently win the tug of war so you can achieve your goals and live fully and purposefully. Step 3, diminish the deterrence. Get the gremlins. To refresh your memory, gremlins are those imaginary, mischievous little creatures regarded as being the cause for an unexplained problem, trouble, or difficulty. They're the ones on the other end of the rope, pulling against you in the tug of war of life. Steps 1 and 2 focused on enhancing the power of a motivation by discerning the clues in your NLEs and identifying your rhythm in your Enlin. Step 3 is about disempowering your opponents. Although attacking the other team in a game of tug-of-war would most likely get you disqualified, attacking the gremlins in the tug-of-war of life isn't just allowed, it's crucial. You can develop a great team of motivators pulling in rhythm in the direction of your life purpose, but even with that enhanced power and strength, if the gremlins on the other end of your rope are powerful, you will expend a lot of valuable time and energy pulling against them. They will slow you down, perhaps keeping you stuck in one place. So, Annie, sorry to interrupt, but what exactly are these gremlins? They are your self-saboteurs, your limiting self-beliefs, your fears, perhaps of failure or success, your perfectionism, your unawareness, your attempts to meet other people's expectations of you, your societal, cultural, family, religious, gender, environmental constraints. Because of our varying nature, nurture backgrounds, the gremlin team pulling against you may look very different than mine. However, whatever team of gremlins you're up against, they work together to keep you unaware of your real self-strength and undermine your courage, self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-love. So how do we outpole our gremlins? This is a lifelong endeavor. It takes commitment and a willingness to peel back the layers to see what lies beneath. It is necessary to name a gremlin before it can be diminished. And because gremlins are often born back in the mist of our very earliest years of life, it can sometimes take a long time to recognize a gremlin for what it is. But don't be discouraged. Once the process of naming and diminishing gremlins begins, the weakened counter-pulling on your life rope becomes immediately noticeable. Making headway is a rewarding feeling, however modest it may be in the beginning. Making a little headway is immeasurably better than remaining stuck in place. And disempowering the gremlin team empowers the motivation team. Diminishing the deterrence requires patience and celebration of each small victory. To illustrate this third step, I've summarized some of my efforts to disempower certain gremlins in my life, specifically in connection with manifesting my passion as a writer, speaker, and fosterer. What I'm sharing is the tip of the iceberg. What lies beneath it are many years of self-discovery work to foster the self-awareness that enables self-confidence, self-forgiveness, self-investment, and all the other selfies of self-love. My summary is presented by first describing the counterpull I've felt from the gremlin at the other end of the tug-of-war rope, offsetting my motivation. I then name the counterpulling gremlin, and then explain how I'm disempowering that gremlin. I use the present tense because that disempowering is a lifelong process. In the workbook, this is presented as a three-column table. Okay, Annie-O, I'll try to visualize the table as you're describing your summary of your efforts to deal with your gremlins. I'll imagine the description of the counterpull you're experiencing in the first column, the name you give the counterpulling gremlin in the second column, and the action you're taking to disempower the named gremlin in the third column. Good stuff. Here it is, Annie Y. Gremlin counterpuller number one is this. Me telling myself, if I try something new, I might fail, so I shouldn't risk it. I've failed before, and it hurts. Gremlin, I name you fear of failure. And gremlin, I'm disempowering you by reminding myself that failures and mistakes are but lessons to grow on. Experiencing a failure doesn't make me a failure. It makes me wiser for the lesson learned. Gremlin counterpuller number two is this. Me asking myself, what if I actually succeed at such and such and my life changes? People I care about might not like the new me. Gremlin, I name you fear of success. And gremlin, I'm disempowering you by reminding myself that first and foremost, I must be true to my authentic self. I am not here to live up to the expectations of others. I was made to be me. People who can relate will support the new me. People who can't, well, it doesn't matter. Gremlin counterpuller number three is this. My inner voice saying, I'm still in the learning stage. I don't know all about my subject yet. If I put myself out there and offer my services, I could do a disservice to someone through my ignorance, my incomplete knowledge. Gremlin, I name you perfectionism. And gremlin, I'm disempowering you by reminding myself that not even experts know it all. If I wait to know it all, I'll never get started. I remain cognizant of my abilities and act accordingly, ever pushing the boundaries of my comfort zone to grow better. I will always be a work in progress, and I have something to offer to others who are also progressing. Gremlin counterpuller number four is this. My insecurities telling me over and over, I just don't have what it takes. Other people are so much more skilled, so much better than I am. Gremlin, I name you lack of self-confidence. And gremlin, just like with your friend fear of failure, I'm disempowering you by reminding myself that failures and mistakes are but lessons to grow on. Experiencing a failure doesn't make me a failure. It makes me a wiser person for the lesson learned. Then I'm reminding myself that I have a unique perspective and my own way of communicating that no one else does. And confidence only grows by continually pushing the boundaries of my comfort zone as my competency increases. To do this, I will continuously seek opportunities to learn and practice. I remind myself of my previous successes, however small they may seem. Gremlin counterpuller number five is this. me repeatedly saying to myself, I'm not very likable. I don't have anything special to offer. People won't want to engage with me. I'll probably keep getting rejected. Gremlin, I name you lack of self-esteem. And Gremlin, I'm disempowering you by reminding myself that people don't like inauthenticity and feel more comfortable, most comfortable, in the presence of someone who shows up as their real self. No, not everyone will like my real self, as there are just incompatible personalities, but people who find me relatable will engage. And Annie Y, that's the end of my examples of noticing my gremlin's counterpull, naming my gremlins, and describing how I'm weakening their counterpull. Be reminded that, although, as per their definition, gremlins are imaginary, they sure as hell seem very real. That's the curse and the blessing of the brain's super ability to imagine. As you work to diminish your gremlins, you will be empowered by reminding yourself that your gremlins only exist as long as you imagine them to be counter-pulling on your rope. The sooner you begin telling your fear of failure gremlin, for example, that she's only a figment of your imagination, and you start imagining what it feels like to embrace failure as an opportunity to grow, your imagining will nurture and strengthen your belief. You don't have to complete steps 1 and 2 to work on step 3. You may find it useful to capture and organize your gremlin thoughts in a table format as I've suggested. As with the capture of NLEs in step 1, the moment you feel or notice a counterpull, i.e. a negative self-talk perhaps, or negative emotions such as shame, guilt, fear, embarrassment, anxiety, etc., jot down your feeling. This feeling may rise to your consciousness through deliberate consideration or randomly as you go about your day. Awareness is the first essential element to working on step 3. As you become aware of your gremlins, attempt to name them whenever possible. Once you find its name, what reminders can you give yourself to stop imagining that the gremlin is real, to disempower it? Your authentic, unhindered, unique self is the only entity that is real. Often a tug-of-war team will have a coach to help the competitors find their rhythm and overpower their opponents on the other end of the rope. Similarly, in order to most effectively work these steps in the Enlin versus Gremlin tug-of-war, you may benefit from the services of a professional counselor and/or coach. If you find it emotionally challenging to name deep-seated gremlins, or the exercise leads you to wanting to address unresolved matters from your past, counseling may assist. Otherwise, if you're looking for guidance and support in finding and interpreting the clues in your NLEs or in stating your life purpose, your calling, in your Enlin, coaching is what you're after. Annie O, what you've shared in this conversation is really the core of the self-development process, the be you journey, becoming you, right? It's about firstly noticing what brings you most fully to life. Secondly, discovering what all the things you notice are telling you about your values, your passion, your life meaning and purpose. And then thirdly, identifying your self-sabotaging beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors so you can rise above those obstacles that are keeping you less than fully alive. Nicely summarized, Annie Y. I'm going to wrap up our conversation today by resharing and somewhat modifying the Robert G. Allen quote from early on in our chat. Here's the modified quote. Creating success, creating happiness, is a tug-of-war between the gremlins in your mind and the passion in your heart, a tug-of-war between your fears and your dreams. If your fears win, you lose. But if your dreams win, not only do you win, but so does everyone else you touch in your life. So does the world. Better you, better world. And one more quote, just because you know me anyway. Quotes are my little energy bars along the arduous path of life. David Coggins says, life is one big tug of war between mediocrity and trying to find your best self. Until next time, kiddo. Bye, Annie-O. Flies on the wall, I invite you to continue to listen in on the self-discovery conversation between Annie Younger and Annie Older by tuning in to the next episode of Better Me, Better World. I'll be back same time next week, same place here at CFRU 93.3 FM or CFRU.ca. The shows are recorded, so alternatively have a listen when it works best for you. Until next time, be you. I'm Annie Gigg.